We have the capability to make the world's first bionic man. Better than it was before. Better. Stronger. Faster.
Bill O'Reilly.
You're tuned to the Radio Factor. I'm Michael Smirkanish from Philly with the privilege of pinch hitting for Bill O'Reilly. In studio with me is Professor Gary Francione. He's a distinguished professor of law at the Rutgers University School of Law. Now, how cool is this? In the same edition of the Radio Factor, both the Motor City Madman, Ted Nugent, and Professor Gary Francione, who is an animal rights activist and whose next book is titled Animals as Persons, and it'll be published by Columbia University Press this fall. Hey, Gary, it's great to see you.
Thanks. Great to see you, Michael.
So you've really caused some reverberations, if that's the right word, with a piece that you penned recently titled We're All Michael Vick. What do you mean by that?
Well, what I mean by that is people are quite rightly upset about what Michael Vick did. I mean, dogfighting is really horrible, and I want to make it clear from the outset, I condemn that. I think that that is an absolutely atrocious thing to do. However, I think we're being a little bit selective here. The reason why we don't like what Michael Vick does is because he's inflicting suffering and death on dogs for no good reason. He's doing it because he enjoys it, because he gets amusement out of it. And what I would suggest is 99.999% of our use of animals generally in the society can be said to be characterized the same way. For example, we are killing 10 billion land animals every year in this country for food, 10 billion alone in this country. These animals are raised and slaughtered under circumstances which can only be described as torture. It is not necessary to eat animals. Indeed, increasingly, mainstream healthcare people are telling us that eating animal products are dangerous for us.
What do you eat, Gar?
I'm a vegan. I've been a
vegan for 25
years.
Did you eat lunch today?
Yes, I did.
What'd you have?
I had actually a very large salad with some beans and some tofu and some croutons and things like that. Very, very healthy, Michael.
Man, I'm just sitting here thinking, what did I had a corned beef special.
Yeah,
I guess that doesn't.
There you go. You're rotting your arteries out, causing yourself heart disease, cancer, et cetera, et cetera.
I could get hit by a truck today.
And animal agriculture is an environmental disaster. It takes between 6 and 12 pounds of plant protein to produce 1 pound of flesh. It takes 1,000 times more water to produce flesh than it does to produce potatoes. And I would just suggest, Michael, that many of our activities, rodeos, does anybody think that rodeos are any more humane than dogfights? Because if they do, they're wrong. Much of our animal use can be characterized as barbaric and as resulting in torture. And all I am saying is that Michael Vick, what he did was wrong. But let's face the
facts
here.
But let's be even more direct. You're saying that a guy like me with three dogs at home, I've got two miniature dachshunds, and I've got a gorgeous Labrador, 11 years old, going on 12. And I love my dogs, but I ate a corned beef special for lunch today in Philadelphia. And you're telling me you're a nice guy, but you're saying to me you're a hypocrite.
Michael, you're a hypocrite. There is no difference between the dogs you love and the animals you're
taking. How far do you take this? How many dogs do you have?
I currently have five. We had seven, two dogs. We lost one last week. So we're down to four.
I'm sorry to hear that. I know what that's like.
Yeah. But they're all rescues from a shelter.
If you get a tick on one of your dogs, what are you doing with the tick?
I take the tick off. If the tick is still alive, I put the tick outside.
You won't kill a tick.
Well, you know, Michael, I don't know whether ticks are sentient, and I think the really important.
What does that mean? Feel pain?
I don't know whether insects feel pain. I err in favor of not killing them. But I think the really important thing is whether ticks are sentient or not. The one thing we do know is the fish, the chickens, the pigs, the cows, all of those animals that we eat, the deer, they are all sentient. Whether the ticks are, whether they're not. So, you know, I tend to sort of think let's worry about the 10 billion animals and the multi-million fish that we're killing that are sentient. One day when we all start having tick roasts, I'll confront that issue.
Is that really the fundamental issue for Professor Gary Francione, the issue of does that living thing feel pain if we kill it to eat it?
Yeah, I mean, I think that we would all agree that if a bee, and I don't think this is controversial, Michael. I think most of the people who are listening to this show right now would agree. Whether they agree that animals have an interest or a right to life apart from what I'm saying now, and that's an interesting philosophical discussion we can have. But I would imagine everybody who's listening to this show would agree with the proposition that it's wrong to inflict unnecessary suffering or death on animals. Now, if that principle means anything, anything. It means we cannot inflict suffering or death on animals for reasons of pleasure, amusement, convenience, or tradition.
But I don't want to be, you know, Bill Clinton. It depends what is means, but I guess it depends what necessary means, because I know the people listening to the Radio Factor are going to say it's necessary for our survival to eat beef.
That's absolute. But necessary in what sense? It is increasingly clear that eating any animal product is not necessary for your health. Indeed, as I was saying before, increasingly mainstream healthcare people are saying that animal products, animal flesh, dairy, eggs, things like that, are not only not necessary for you to eat to lead an optimally healthy lifestyle, but those products are dangerous for us. They're killing us. They're increasing our chances of cancer, cardiovascular disease, diabetes, and all sorts of other illnesses.
I know. Let me anticipate one question. And yes, we're going to take questions from the Radio Factor audience at 1-877-9-NO-SPIN. Gary Francione is one of the nation's foremost animal rights activists, and he's in studio here at the Radio Factor. He's a distinguished professor of law at Rutgers University. He's got a new book coming out titled Animals as Persons. You sure that shouldn't be people?
No, it's Animals as
All
Persons.
Right. Well, never my strong suit. Don't go by me. Animals as Persons. I know someone calling into the Radio Factor is going to say, you must be pro-life. As opposed to pro-choice, because if it all comes down to feeling pain and so forth, talking about a fetus that's, you know, viable, not viable, what's your position on abortion? Have you thought it through from an animal rights perspective?
Well, yes, I've actually written on the topic of abortion. My position on abortion is this. Most abortions occur in the first trimester, and there is very little, if any, evidence to suggest that fetuses are sentient in the first trimester.
But you're giving the tick the benefit of the doubt.
But wait a minute. With abortion, you've got a very peculiar situation, Michael. Let's assume, just for purposes of argument, that the fetus is a person and that the fetus is a right holder. So let's assume that the fetus is a moral person and the fetus is a right holder. You've got a very weird situation in which you've got one right holder living inside the body of another right holder. Now, the question is, who's going to resolve that conflict? The person in whose body the subservient right holder exists, or some political figure, generally a judge or a legislator, who will generally
all right,
be male.
Let me give you a quick response.
Pregnant.
All right.
Yes.
I got a pond behind my house.
Yes.
It's stocked with trout.
Yes.
They've got their rights. I've got mine. They're in my pond. I'm fishing and eating them. Got to take a break. Stew on that for just a moment. This is the Radio Factor. Call this man. His name is Gary Francione. 877-9-NO-SPIN. I'm Michael Smirkanish from Philly.
You're in the No-Spin Zone with Bill O'Reilly.
Welcome back. Our big leader is a bouncer from Saskatchewan. His hobbies are eating and lighting firecrackers.
Bill O'Reilly.
Hey, you're tuned to the Radio Factor. I'm Michael Smirkanish from Philly. Proud to bring you a program, in addition to the Radio Factor, that has not only included the Motor City Madman, Ted Nugent, but now the flip side of that coin, Professor Gary Francione. He's a distinguished professor of law at the Rutgers University School of Law in Newark. His forthcoming book, Animals as Persons, will be published by Columbia University Press this fall. Lots of folks in the Radio Factor audience want to chat with Professor Francione. Hey, Daniel, in Bluntstown, Florida. Welcome, sir, and go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you both for taking my call.
Hi, Daniel.
I just got a question, and when I ask this, it's not in a bad way. I'm just curious. Are you an atheist? And if not, is there a particular religion that your beliefs or that you adhere to?
No, I'm not an atheist because I don't believe you can in any way, dispositive way, prove the non-existence of God. I think I would probably identify myself as a medieval Cathar dualist. The church thought they had killed us all by the 12th century, but some of us escaped. And I think that's the way I would describe myself.
Is there a footnote that comes with that answer?
Well,
I need to look it up somewhere?
You could look it up on the internet. It would probably take me too long to explain what
I guess
Cathar
what he's wondering is, is there a religious foundation to how you approach this issue?
I could say Christian, but not traditional Christian, because I don't subscribe to any traditional Christian beliefs. But I do believe very, very strongly in the message of nonviolence that was promoted by Jesus and by other religious leaders. I mean, there have been a number of religious leaders who have been opposed to violence. I'm opposed to violence. I see my veganism and my views on this subject as being very, very much part of that. Let me just say one thing, Daniel, before we get off. I want to refer you to Genesis, the first chapter of Genesis. chapters, verses 29 and 30. And God said, "See, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food." And it was so. And God saw that it was good. Very good. Actually, very good, it says. And so I
must
would
have
suggest,
been the tofu.
I would suggest right? to you that in Genesis, the first book of Genesis, it's very clear that humans are not eating animals and animals are not eating other animals. It's only when the covenant is breached and we are driven from the Garden of Eden. And so I just wanted to remind you of
this
that.
This is Brad. He's in Hannibal, Missouri on the Radio Factor. Hey, Brad, how are you?
Good, good. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'll tell you a couple of things right off. I used to, when I was a kid, and I do still now, even with my own kids, smash lightning bugs on fingernails and act like they're for rings because I don't know. I was raised having fun outside like that. I've seen myself as well as kids shoot sparrows for target practice. Would I ever harm a dog? No. I mean, there's so many ways of looking at this, and it all has to do with what limits, where do I find the slippery slope inside myself? Do I want to wonder what I'm capable of? Because when you shoot a sparrow out of a tree, you really have very little impact on the
Look,
rest of the world.
Brad, you're speaking for me as well, because I've got that same sort of dichotomy, Professor Francione would say, inconsistency in my world. I love my dogs, and yet I want to wring the neck of Michael Vick. Gary, let me ask you this question. Brad, thanks for the call. You may have heard me describe in Philadelphia this week a problem that I've got literally in my own backyard, 4 baby skunks. I was reading the Sunday paper last mm-hmm. weekend, mm-hmm. And at my feet, I thought it was one of my dogs. It is a foot-long baby skunk.
Mm-hmm.
What am I to do with that issue?
There are have-a-heart traps that you can use that right. you can trap those animals without harming them.
Now and what do I do with them? Bring them to your house?
Relocate them out into an area where they're not going to come in contact with people.
That's
very easy, Michael. I mean, I've had that problem, and I've dealt with other people who've had that problem. That's a very easy... Michael, we're all problems that easy to solve.
This is Genghis in Nacogdoches, Texas. How did I do with your name and that town, Genghis?
Pretty good. How are y'all doing?
It's all right.
Nacogdoches, and I do see some inconsistencies in Mr. Francione's opinion about abortion. Whether you're religious or not, I can tell you for a fact from my own as a physician that 8-week babies do have feelings. You can tell when you listen to a baby's heartbeat, and if the mom is excited, you can see the baby's heart get excited. And it's not just from adjustments in blood flow. It's almost a fact. Nobody can say for a fact. That's why the studies that say babies that are under 12 weeks can't feel anything. I don't understand how they can determine that either. So I think if you're going to have an opinion about animals, I think it's against humans. I think
right. You think he's got an inconsistency. Take 30 seconds and answer this before our break.
Even if fetuses were sentient, as I said before, you've got a very, very strange situation of a conflict that doesn't replicate itself anywhere else in nature. I would also suggest to you that the evidence is quite overwhelming that fetuses under 12 weeks don't have sentience. And I would say a good argument could be made that fetuses aren't sentient, period, because what possible reason as a matter of evolution would it serve for a fetus to be sentient? Fetuses cannot escape noxious stimuli. There are very good reasons to believe that sentience is something that occurs after birth.
Gary, I am a dim bulb, all right, in your realm.
Michael, you are not a dim bulb.
I don't know what the hell that means, but how does a trout feel pain if a fetus doesn't?
Well, Michael, because...
Can we hold it until we come back?
Sure.
It's the Radio Factor. I'm Michael Smirkanish in Philly. We're back after this.
You're in the no-spin zone with Bill O'Reilly.
Tune to the Radio Factor. I'm Michael Smirkanish, based in Philly. Thank you, Bill, for this privilege. Gary Francione is a distinguished professor of law and philosophy at the Rutgers University School of Law. His forthcoming book, Animals as Persons, will be published by Columbia University Press this fall. Hey, Gary, tonight I'm going to go watch the Phillies hopefully put a third straight night of hurting on the New York Mets. What occurs to me is it's got to be difficult being you with your philosophy, just going through daily rituals of life. For example, if you were at the ballpark with me tonight, you know, to your left is a guy eating a cheesesteak, to your right is a guy eating a hot dog, all around. Does that get to you?
Well, I mean, I prefer not to see it, but I live in a world of people who are, of carnivores. I mean, I've gotten used to that. I deal with it, and I see a good deal of my role in life is to educate people about that. And if you're hostile to people, you'll never educate them. So I try to talk to everybody who's interested in talking about it.
Charlene is in Saskatchewan now, part of the Radio Factor. Thanks for your patience, Charlene. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
I guess that you've kind of been talking about a little bit with the abortion factor, and that's just something that I think when I listen to animal rights activists, that's the part that I have the most difficulty with, that they show more compassion for, a mouse than they do for a fetus. And I, for the life of me, I just can't buy that explanation that they feel no pain in the womb.
And a lot of people are calling to say the same thing. Anything else you want to say on that issue, Gary?
I think respectfully, I think that's a simplification of the situation. I think you're talking about a very, very complicated matter in which you've got a conflict between a woman who has got something in her body, and the issue is, can she control her body or can she not control her body in a patriarchal society? I think that raises some complicated questions, and I do believe that the evidence is extremely scant that fetuses are sentient.
Randy in Cincinnati, very quickly for Professor Francione. Go ahead.
Gentlemen, how you doing? Two questions real quick. Doctor, if you have dogs, what do you feed them?
I feed them vegan food. I feed them a mixture of lentils, grains, and vegetables.